You're listening to Have Mike Will Travel with Elizabeth Santry.
Hi, welcome to the show. This episode was recorded in New York. I took the bus from Philadelphia to Manhattan and hit a lot of traffic and inevitably was late to meet up with Danielle Greco. Now, I would call her a fashion persona. She works on the retail end for a very fast-paced, growing fashion brand. But she's also getting involved in webisodes and talking and discussing fashion on the internet. I was really late to meet with her at her workspace, so graciously, she was able to reschedule, and this episode was recorded in Brooklyn. Normally, I let my guests pick the location, but we were running out of time, and I was desperate to sit down with her. So I met up with Danielle in a really loud cafe in Brooklyn, and we had a great time. It was my first time meeting her, and I think you'll really enjoy this episode. Thanks so much for meeting me. It was kind of crazy. We were going to meet at your office, but then schedules, it was really tough getting into New York timing-wise, and then the luck of us being in the same neighborhood at the same time. So here we are at a cafe. I really appreciate it. It's freezing outside, and you came to meet me. This is super awesome. I was just thinking to myself, this is the first time I've had a guest meet me.
Yep,
I'm usually coming to you. So, well, just for real quick, what is the vibe of your workspace, so the office? Because that's where we were going to
have it. So the workspace is technically three floors now.
Mm-hmm.
We just opened up the third floor. Second floor is the office. First floor is the retail space.
Okay. Where are you
most I was in the office, but now I have like a desk down in the retail space to make sure that everything's going well down there.
Okay. So you're wearing a couple hats.
I wear a ton of hats.
Okay, that's cool. And so how long have you been in New York?
I've been in New York for 7 years.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
And so talk me through the like decision. I think it's obvious that most people who are from the East Coast and in fashion, New York seems
to come to New York.
Yeah, but when did it hit you? When did you know?
So when I was a senior, I was trying to decide whether I should go to Philly U or FIT because I knew I wanted to do fashion.
Mm-hmm.
The, like business fashion. I'm not like a designer.
No, that's cool.
Or anything like that. So I applied to both, thinking I wouldn't get into the Fashion Institute of Technology, and then I got into it.
Ooh.
Like early admissions, and then I was just like, if I don't do this, I'll regret it.
Okay.
And that was like literally the thing that it was like, because I had this like situation. Well, I was like seven, and there's this one regret that like this overall regret that I had and have when I was 7 years old.
Wow.
And I always go back to it as like a reminder. And we were at Sesame Place. It was like this amusement park, and there was like this car wash machine, and you ran through it, and it looked really scary and crazy. But it was like a human car wash machine, and my cousins all went through it, and my sister went through it, and it was my turn, and I couldn't do it.
You choked.
I was too scared, and the whole car ride home, I cried because I wanted to do it, and I literally thought, I really hope this doesn't turn into a Sesame Street place situation, and I have to go to New York.
But that's brilliant that you held on.
I always look back at that. It's crazy.
Holding on to regret is definitely tough.
A seven-year-old regret's not that bad.
No,
I can let it go.
You were able to, it's guided you, you know, like, because...
Always.
Because I don't remember, you know, seven-year-old screw-ups or fuck-ups, you know, the fact that you could... So that was the thing.
It was traumatic. And it's so crazy. And I thought, like, when I looked at, I had the two admission letters, like, in front of me. And I was like, no, this will be Sesame Place Part 2, and I can't do it.
Amazing.
I can't do it. I have to go to New York. So
okay.
That's kind of what happened.
And when did it feel home? I like to ask people when that connection happened. Because it's hard work breaking into the city.
No, New York was really traumatic on me the first 2 years. I thought after my first semester, I'm going to finish my second. I'm going back to Philadelphia. I hate it. The people are terrible. I was involved with the fashion industry, obviously, because that's what I was studying, and the people were just atrocious.
Oh, personality-wise?
The girls in school, everything was terrible. It was like a massive party scene, and like to the point where like it was just introducing me to things that I never dealt with in Philly. I just avoided.
Okay.
And I continued to avoid, but it was hard. It was just like dealing with a lot of people I wasn't used to. So I was like, I don't fit in here. I don't want to be here. Like these people like look down on me like, oh, you're like this like trashy chick from Philly who like eats McDonald's, and like they were like eating kale and like with Chanel. And literally that's like what it was. But I was like, oh, I got to a point where I don't know if I can curse.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, but I was just like, fuck you. Like, I'm staying here. You're not going to, like, make me leave. And I'll just, like, literally, because I had a problem meeting friends, my first 2 years, other than my roommate, who's like my best friend. We lived together now for 7 years since I've been here. Because I had a problem meeting friends in the beginning, I would work and intern every day.
Oh, you threw yourself into work.
I had nothing else to do. I didn't want to go out. I didn't feel comfortable out. I didn't like the things that they were doing. It wasn't me. And I wasn't willing to change that, so I worked and interned. I got a job as soon as I got there, and that's like what it was.
Wow. That's actually kind of great.
Yeah. It was stressful, but I would have rather... I'm happy I did that instead of went to, like, nightclubs and meatpacking.
Yeah, yeah. When did it feel like home? Was there a moment?
It felt like home probably towards the end of my sophomore year of college when, like, I got a small group of friends, and they liked the same things that I did, and we would, like, hang in and, like, watch funny TV shows and, like, drink wine and, like, shit like that and not, like, go crazy. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's kind of when I felt like, okay, maybe I could stay here.
Mm-hmm. How long was that into it, did you say?
2 years.
2 years.
Yeah. It was a rough 2 years. Yeah. I hated it. I hated New York.
Yeah. It's funny, because in my living different places, I've learned that the expression hanging out.
Yeah.
Means so different
to multiple people,
and you can just say that so loosely. Let's hang out, and then you find out what their hangout is. It's not what your hangout is.
No.
And it's just really alienating, funny, strange thing.
No, and then you're like, I don't fit in here. I just want to go home where my friends are like funny and goofy, and like they don't like wear Louboutins to the nightclub. And I was like, I don't have them. I can't go to the nightclub with you guys at 19. I don't want to do that.
So I feel like humor plays a lot into, like, what you're doing because you work with your personality and stuff.
Yeah.
What is, I guess it's a super vague question and you can answer it any way you want, but, like, the importance of humor in work and in everyday life and, in intimacy, like, describe, like, what that means to you.
Well, I think humor and comedy, you have to be smart to be humorous. You have to be smart to be, like, comedic. I think... humor comes into play where when you can connect with other people and you know what will make them smile, or you can just like read off their energy, and then you're like, okay, they like this type of energy in return, I know I can give them that. It's also just a way of, I guess, letting go of being so self-conscious and then just being yourself. It's just kind of like, well, this is what I want to say, and I'm just gonna say it. And like,
oh yeah, I love that.
I feel like I've always said, I feel like people can get away with saying anything as long as they're like, even if it's fucked up, being like, this is fucked up, but I'm just gonna say it. And then I'm like, well, you precursed, you like gave me this like, listen, I'm gonna say this.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, all right, I'm gonna listen at this really obnoxious, rude thing you're about to say because you told me it's fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, you know it. As long as you're self-aware you can just, like, say it with a smile. I feel like if you would, like, put a little smile on and give someone, like, a warning, like, you're good.
Yeah. Now, I feel like in my research I found out that you kind of stumbled into using your personality and being, because you're an internet personality, and that's a really weird thing to
say. It's
a
weird thing.
But it's a real thing. It's a thing of the times. And it didn't sound like you necessarily sought it out, but at what point did you realize that your personality, which is an innate thing that you're born with, you don't have to go to school to do, that was actually a part of your collection of skills? When did you realize
that? So I went into my job doing multiple different things regarding retail, from like managing store and now doing buying. And I was always just like, I don't know, like eccentric or like kooky or just like crazy, like... whatever, like, let's do the worm on the floor on a Wednesday, like, stupid, really stupid shit. And every time there would be video content produced, I would just be like the backup because I was just willing to do it. It wasn't that I don't think anyone necessarily thought I was good, but they were like, yeah, she'll just do it, just put her in it. And I'm just like, yeah, I'll do it, cool. Like, and then, you know, I think people started to like maybe my honesty, so then it kind of just worked. I'm still the backup all the time, and then I just kill it. But it's okay. I'm just so used to that.
And maybe that's helpful for your ego in your growth of your personality, the fact that you kind of come at it with such a, you know, that you're not like this mega star kind of thing, and that so you can work on it and grow.
Yeah. I mean, to me, I'm just like... I'm like warning people. I'm like, if you're gonna put me in this video, I'm just gonna say whatever I want. Like, I'm not like, you name the show one thing, I'm gonna change it to like my first name and like have fun.
Yeah.
Like, you're just gonna have to run with it. Like, that's just the way I am. I just like, I don't like, there's other things going on, but I feel like regarding like video and stumbling into it, it worked out well just because I don't take that stuff that seriously.
Like, for going forward, anything you want
to,
like...
I don't know. I feel like it could go in either direction. I could just continue to work in the fashion industry and the business aspect and crunch numbers and look at clothes all the time. I mean, I do enjoy that. Or, like...
But you could be, like, the next generation Joan Rivers. Or, telling it like it is.
Or I want to have, like, my own, like, show, like, talk show or something. I don't know. I mean, I'm open to any of that. I am happy when I get to be myself on camera and meet new people and, like, joke with people and hear their stories, like you're doing right now. Mm-hmm. I'm never, it's usually me doing what you're doing. So
How does it feel for you?
It feels weird.
but you sympathize with you.
Yeah, I understand. But I think that's kind of how I feel about it. But I did stumble into it.
So do you learn anything? Because I know you had the show about, like, the hearing, like, what was it called, Out Here?
Out Here with musicians.
Yeah, so, like, in your, what I love, because it's actually, I do it in the show, and then I realized you were doing it in your show as well, the idea that asking people what they do outside of work.
Yeah.
I think it's really compelling and cool, because I have a theory that it helps you actually be better at your job if you've got something really fun and stimulating to check out and, like, turn off, like, almost like a switch. I mean, like, and decompress.
Oh, yeah, if you take yourself out of that situation
because
into something else.
Some people are kind of like workaholics, or maybe you even have to be really successful.
Oh, yeah, yeah, totally.
I love knowing about, like, oh, I knit, you know?
Yeah,
or
not,
like
nothing to do with,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No,
so
I feel
do you do anything that's like, that feels like this is my way to decompress, to chill, to forget about that world?
It's funny, because I actually had that conversation with someone, because I'm so, like, overloaded with pop culture on, like, a daily basis, which I love. It's just, like, pop culture, she did this, she did that, she's wearing this, we're wearing that, like, look at this cool, crazy outfit, and, like, it's just, I hear about, like, fashion and pop culture and everything so much, and it's, like, I actually, like, really like, books about, like, the brain and, like, the way it works and, like, really, like, weird, like, science philosophy books, which don't make sense, those two, but, like, I have books on that, so I, like, read that, and I'm, like, did you know that, like, there's, like, something to do with, like, mirror neurons and, like, for example, if you yawn, if you don't yawn when someone else yawns, you're 80% less sympathetic than, like, the everyday person.
Because
it has to do with, like, a mirror neuron.
Right.
But it's, like, stuff like that that I just, like, read because I'm bored.
Yeah.
It just, like, checks me out from, like, oh, Paris Hilton did this. Yeah,
right.
You know what I mean? And, like, I love that, but, like, I can't deal with that all the time.
Of course.
So, like, I just, I mean, I don't read, like, a ton. I should probably read more, but it's just, like, weird stuff like that.
So I wanted to know about... the thing that got you into fashion or what you do, that thing that you love, and you're thinking back and you said, like, you're in high school and you're deciding where to go, that thing that you love, do you still love it? Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I know. So when I was little, I used to, like, put on fashion shows for my mom because I thought I was going to be a designer.
Okay.
So I like, struggled with kids in, like, 7th and 8th grade because I dressed weird. Which obviously made me, like, cute and cool in high school, but, like, made me really weird and nerdy in, like, 7th and 8th grade. So, whatever.
You were early.
I was early. I was always ahead of the curve.
I love it.
So, I used to dress my sister up, and she was, like, in 5th or 6th grade, and I would dress up her and my cousin or my neighbors in, like, really crazy, like, scarf dresses and put on fashion shows for my mom. And I used to wear, like, a measuring tape around my neck to look like a fashion designer.
Aww.
And, like, in, like, 3rd grade, I, like, for, like, career day, I went to school as a fashion designer, and it was, like, always a thing, you know?
A repetitive theme.
It was a repetitive theme, probably, from, like, 3rd grade on, and my mom just, like, let me run with it.
But what was it? What was the thing in 3rd grade that was, like, what was the thing
you
thought?
Oh, I watched the Style Channel, like, okay. Like, because I wasn't allowed to watch MTV or, like, VH1 or anything cool. Like, all my friends would, like, watch Bring It On. And I would, like, sneak over to watch it because it was, like, weird and, like, just, like, well, it's because it's, like, sexual and it's, like, PG-13. So, I mean, it pretty much sums me up now because I'm, like, ooh, that stuff is weird. But I'm, like, the Style Channel's cool. Like, my icon was, like, that Lauren Ezersky or something. She was, like, the, like, crazy Jewish woman that was, like, super rich that, like, hosted the show. And she was, like, I love what you're wearing. And she was, like, covered in diamonds.
Yeah.
It was Behind the Velvet Ropes.
Oh.
And it ruled.
And so
and
you
she
actually
hosted
are
it.
Kind of doing that thing
It's
now.
Cool that I get to do that now. Because when I was little, I'd be, like, she's so cool. And she's such a weird woman to think is, like, cool. But when I was, like, 12, I thought she was so cool.
So you, I guess the answer is yes.
Yeah, it did kind of come full circle.
Yeah, so you still love it.
Yeah, I do.
That person.
That's cool.
That
I actually didn't even put those two together until just now, but she rules.
That's awesome. Did you toy with any other
careers, any other options, or were you just sort of black and white about?
I was pretty black and white, but it's funny because, like, I always in the back of my head wanted to be a lawyer, and I still kind of do.
What is it about it?
I just want to be, like, a defense attorney and just, like, defend the stars. Like, he did not murder him. And just, like, be glamorous with, like, rappers and be a defense attorney. I still might. I texted my mom last week being, like, I want to go to law school, and she's like, shut up, Danielle.
It's amazing.
But I still do. I will. Maybe in, like, 10 years I'll go to law school. But if I did, I'd probably just go for, like, fashion law and do, like, licensing agreements.
Yeah,
but whatever.
Right.
I can still dream.
You can make it. You can turn in whatever.
Yeah, true.
I love that. So one thing I know about you is that you travel for work.
Okay.
And I wanted to know about how other cultures, you know, because you're talking about you're really into, like, the pop culture. But correct me if I'm wrong, it's a lot of Americana stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So do you check out pop culture in other countries?
So I don't really check out pop culture in other countries. I recently traveled to Paris, which everyone thought was, like, hilarious because I am so anti-traveling.
Really? You just, like, love home?
I know, like, the modern woman should, like, be out and about, but for me, like, I'm just like, no, I'd rather not. So I had to go to Paris for work for Fashion Week, and I was just, like, miserable and, like, the flight, and I was like, this fucking is terrible. And, like,
really?
I mean, I got there and I ended up loving Paris. I didn't want to love it.
Screaming?
I was like, ew, Paris sucks, French sucks, you know, because they hate us.
It's true.
So,
the Parisians specifically.
But they were actually, the Parisians, well, they were actually all really nice to me, and I thought, I mean, I was running around like crazy. If I had a free second, I thought it was really beautiful. And it was, like, really romantic,
so it's fair to say you don't speak other languages.
It was, no. And I don't speak any other languages. But it was beautiful. So I'm going to throw them that bone.
Okay.
I'll throw Paris that bone. It was very pretty. Regarding fashion and pop culture in other countries, I don't really care about it other than, like, K-pop. Like, K-pop stars are gorgeous and amazing and fun and crazy.
Would you make the flight to Seoul?
Yes, I would. I was thinking about it because we were talking to someone from Seoul, but for Seoul Fashion Week, which I think will be a thing very shortly.
Oh, I believe you.
But I would, just because it really looks really cool and fun.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it'd be, like, too many parties and I'd be miserable, honestly.
Now, how many, is there any other place that you have, like, traveling? So you don't
No,
travel
I don't. Things. I really, I mean, I started traveling more because of the fashion, my fashion industry and my job. And, you know, I'm sure I'll be traveling the upcoming fashion seasons. But regarding traveling in general, no, I've been to, like, the typical, like, Mexico, Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, like, beach vacation.
Destinations. Okay. And I was going to say, so what did anything, like, lasting besides just giving them the bone of, like, okay, Paris wasn't so bad, did it take anything away?
That I should probably be more open.
Oh, okay.
Okay, yeah.
So it was more of, like, a personal check-in.
Yeah, it was definitely, like, and then I was just, like, you know, because I did most of the traveling alone. When I got there, I met up with a coworker. But then I was just like, okay, I can do this. I got this. Like, I was a little weary. Like, this is a lot to go alone and into a strange city and find the apartment. And, like, I'm just, like, really, like, I get, like,
so
I
you
just,
were alone. That's,
yeah,
that is a
for
lot.
The most part.
I
mean,
see what you're saying.
I was alone.
This is a language barrier.
Yeah.
And it's a lot.
So I was alone for the most part. But it's okay. And I got through it. And I did it. And I was like, yes, Danielle. Mm-hmm. Like, in Paris, like, kind of alone. Like, you got this. So I was
and
happy.
And so what did that do for your career? Does it feel kind of cool? Or is it a burden to travel for work?
No, I mean, I'm obviously blessed to do so. You know, I was just being a brat. I was happy to go. I was 24 and in Paris for work. Like, that's amazing. Like, I never thought I would get to do that right now at the very least. So I was happy, and I definitely am. I definitely feel thankful that I got to go, you know, for free and, like, enjoy Paris.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't complain about it.
Because traveling for work, I think, for some people, could be, like, a box to tick about success. And that's why I was wondering what success means to you.
Mm.
Like, what is it, achievement? Is it a feeling?
I don't think it's necessarily, like, the traveling thing. But success to me is, like, knowing that what you're doing is not only making you feel good, but it's helping other people to feel good about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're taking something away from it. When you can reach out to multiple people that's, like, not your friends or family, and they're, like, a complete stranger's, like, wow, I really like what you do, or thank you for saying that, or, like, you know, I'm, like, 15 and you inspire me, and I'm just, like, that's everything to me.
Wow.
Like, everything. Like, I love that.
So, talk me through some of the comments you get on YouTube. I would love to know the reaction you get from people.
I always say that I'm surprised that a lot of it's really nice, because I do say a lot of things I probably shouldn't say, or like make jokes that I shouldn't make. But for the most part, no one really takes offense to it, because I'm just like 5'3" and smiling, like, oh, I shouldn't say this, but I'm gonna say it. And everyone's just like, I get away with it, but like, you know, a slap on the wrist.
Yeah.
And then I've always gotten away with murder, so it's just fine. I continue to.
Back to my Joan Rivers reference.
Back to, yeah, there we go. I like get away with murder. But for the most part, everyone's really nice. Every now and then someone's like, Danielle's annoying. And I'm like, I am. I completely agree with you. And like, usually when people say mean things, I'll write back like, I love you, or something really annoying and stupid that I probably can't do anymore. But no, everyone's usually really nice. And whenever I touch on something serious, which I usually don't, like I've like touched on bullying and and someone like reached out to me directly and was like, you know, I'm older now, I'm in my 30s, but I was bullied a lot when I was little, and like it meant a lot that you brought that up, because I really like your show, it's really funny, but it was like really nice for you to say that to kids. And that like really like broke my heart. That was like really cute. I like love that shit. I could like tear up thinking about it. Like made me feel really good. It was really sweet.
So when did you know you had like a look that was that people associate with you? Do you feel like you have, because I feel like you were just sort of describing before, an recognizable look.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's a part of, it might seem superficial to describe.
Like someone by a look.
A fashion look, but what it really is, in my opinion, because I love fashion, is, and having worked in it, is that it really is a reflection of where you are in the stage of knowing yourself.
Yeah.
And I think the more comfortable you get with yourself, the more secure you get with your look and how, do you know what I mean?
No, absolutely. Okay, so...
And describe your look.
Yeah, I always, like, consider myself kind of, like, rocker, like, but, like, a rocker like Paris Hilton. Like, I'll have, like, my nails done and my hair done, but then I'm in, like, you know, a shirt from a band that I listened to when I was, like, 15, and, like, but I also really, like, I mean, I really like, high street and, like, high street wear, and I've always liked that, but, like, mixed with, like, you know, just, like, classic fashion. I don't think I'll ever change. I mean, if I was going to, like, have, like, an older look, it'd be, like Gwen Stefani or something, who's still like really rocker and like glamorous, and she's like, I'm obsessed with her. But I just continued to dress the same way that I always felt comfortable when I was like 15 and 16, and it was just like,
oh, so has it been the same?
Yeah, it's been the same. Like a lot of my friends are always like skaters, and I like love like skate culture and like just like the fashion there, and I've like, and then like bands and everything like that. So I've continued the same kind of look. I'll go to like really nice fashion events dressed like that, and I just like don't care. Like part of it's kind of like, well, this is me, like sorry, you know what I mean? And yeah, so I've always like mixed, like I like have like my Louis, but then I'm in like a Guar t-shirt. Like that's just always like how I've been. Like I like love that. I think that's like the look. And me and my like really good friend were watching The Simple Life last night, like the first season, and they look so good. It's like bananas.
Really?
And they have like the shittiest, like longest hair extensions in. And I'm like, I'm getting hair extensions this week. Like really
purposely
shitty ones.
Look shitty. Yeah. Amazing.
Like really straight, shitty, messy hair extensions. Like I love that. But I'm always in a t-shirt.
So, okay, so we're talking about look, and we're talking about exterior and image and stuff. Do you feel any personal pressure because you're in front of a camera, and so that your image, your physical, actual, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like, in the beginning, maybe a little bit, but then you start to, you, like, see your face, like, maybe, like, a few times, and you're like, you know what, that's what I look like. And, like, maybe it's a little different than, like, when I make my mirror face, but, like, you know what, fuck it. Like, that's what I look like.
Yeah.
And, like... you know, now I start to get like hair and makeup on camera and stuff, because obviously if you're representing like a company or something, you want to look nice. I don't want to be a mess, but like there's been times where my hair is like up in a bun and it's a mess, and I'm just like, I don't really care. What would bother me more is if I wasn't funny on camera, or if I said something really stupid, or I offended someone.
So
or
the content,
like if I'm like, to me it's like what I say is honest to God more important than like my hair being in a messy bun. Like that's me. If you don't like that, like then don't put me on camera.
I
like got over that, and like just like, you know, body image in general, it's just like, just look at yourself and then just be like, well, that's me. And there are a lot of people that like me for that, so it's like, why change that?
Right. That's really cool. I was curious about like learning new things. Like I'd love to know what your process is. Like what was, you know, was school easy, was school hard? Like I think that people one of the reasons I wanted to start the show was because I wanted to shed some truth on how people get things done.
Yeah.
Because it can, things like Facebook and social media can filter this lens that makes you look like your life is perfect, your life
absolutely.
Is easy. And I think that that's disheartening to people and makes you feel disconnected. You're like, wow, I can't do that. Look at this person doing it so easy and I can't. I love to shed a little bit of truth. Like, how was it to go through the ranks of work and learning new skills? What's the best environment for you to be in to learn new skills?
So, like, I was never, like, really great in school, but my mom and dad never really put a lot of pressure on me. So it's kind of just, like, if I was really interested in class, I got an A. Mm-hmm. If I wasn't, I got a C or something. And my mom would be like, oh, did you not like that class? I'm like, nah, it's not really interesting. She's like, that's all right. Do you really like the class you got an A in? I'd be like, yeah. She'd be like, okay, cool. So focus on that then. Mm-hmm. It was never, like, you got a bad grade. You're grounded. Like, my parents were really open, really cool. Which I think made me just be like, okay, then I'll focus on what I like, you know? It's fine. If you're not great at everything, that is fine. I think the best way to learn something is to feel a connection with it and then just, like give everything to that, you know? It's like,
so rather than
not everything is for everybody.
I see. So rather than focus on your shortcomings and try to fix them,
yeah.
You're like, screw it, cut it off,
no.
And go to the good stuff.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I don't know who said this quote. I think someone said it, and I'm probably going to fuck up the quote, but it's something like, if you have to practice at it, don't do it.
Mm.
Which is pretty, maybe fucked up. At the same time, it's like, if it doesn't come naturally, I promise everyone you will have something that comes naturally. Do what comes naturally. Don't force something in anything in your life, you know? And it's like, I mean, regarding work, it's like, there's going to be a struggle. Like, it was really hard for me in the beginning. Like I said, like, I worked constantly and was always like, oh, all my friends were going out and I was like interning, and I just, like, you know, especially in the fashion industry, you just get like shit on by like women and the older women in the fashion industry as like an intern, and you deal with all of that. But it's like, I just feel like you just work really hard. You, like, I mean, like, my boss had a quote before that's like, you keep your head down and like you be nice and you be humble, and then like you'll just get there. Like, you just do what you have to do, you know? And it's like, you just shut up and do it. You, like, grin and bear it. And no one, like, even if, like, on Instagram, like, my life seems perfect. Like, I'm literally at work, like, pulling the hair out of my head, like, freaking out constantly. It's, like, my thing to be like, oh, my God. Like, I'm, like, the one that, like, jumps up and down and is like, what the fuck? And everyone's like, Danielle, calm down. I'm like, no, this isn't okay. And it's just, like, and everyone, like, laughs it off eventually because I'm just, like, a lunatic. But, like, yeah, everything, you know, is super stressful, especially if you love it and you're passionate about it. You're going to get stressed out about it because you want it to be great, you know?
No, that's right. Any new projects or new things that you're working on right now that you're excited about?
Well, I think we're kind of gearing up for maybe, like, the new season of my show. I don't know, like, when it's going to happen, but I know we're, like, getting ready for it, and I'm excited about that.
Any personal predictions or things to look forward to in 2015?
I want my own show.
Okay. I think it's great.
Well, I have my own show technically now,
yeah,
but
say.
I want, like, some, like, MTV shit.
Oh, like, you're talking like a national
we'll
spot.
We'll see, yeah. I don't know.
Fantastic.
I mean, maybe not 2015, somewhere down the line. I want to do something on television, probably. Definitely not, like, reality. I feel like reality TV, it's kind of like, maybe, but, like.
But what, do you have, like, a prediction of, like, what's next, what's more?
What's going to happen for reality TV?
Yeah. It's a transition, because you can't keep working the same structure and think it's going to keep going.
For me personally, or from reality TV in general?
In general.
Because
you view it, right?
Yeah. I've actually started rewatching The Real World, to Jersey Shore.
Oh.
Which was genius on MTV's part. I remember watching it, and, like, literally my entire family would sit down and watch The Jersey Shore. Like, it was just, like, it was definitely, like, a very important moment for MTV, The Jersey Shore.
Oh, absolutely.
And, love Snooki, good for her. She, like, came up real hard. She looks great now. So I don't know where reality TV is going to go. I think they might have hit everything already.
That's what I feel like.
I like the idea of taking celebrities and making them do, like, weird things, like Vice sending, like, Dennis Rodman to, like, North Korea and, like, shit like that. But I don't really know, you know?
Okay.
But I think one day, like, if I was, like, 40 or something, I would produce or something. That would be cool.
Okay. So maybe behind the camera.
Yeah, maybe eventually. That would be cool.
That is cool.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm open to it.
I really appreciate you meeting me. This was super awesome.
Yeah.
I had a great time chatting.
Thank you for talking to me. I never get to talk about this kind of stuff.
I'm so glad. And I love that maybe we're bookmarking some things. You can come back and be like, I predicted
that. I said
I was going to do it. Now I'm doing it.
Yeah.
I hope that happens.
Well, thank you so much, Elizabeth.